Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman on this fine Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. And back with us right now, we've got our friend Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you two with us. Now, I understand that you brought a cool friend with you today.
I sure did. You know, about a week ago, I was sitting at the table with my wife, and she was reading the paper. I think it was the Parade magazine, and she pointed out a piece to me that was, it says, Countdown to Veterans Day. And as you read down the piece a little bit, it talks about an organization called Rags of Honor. And I after looking at it, she said, you know, you ought to have these guys on. And I says, what a great idea. So today we have Mark Doyle. He's the founder and the CEO of Rags of Honor. Mark, welcome to the Union Edge.
Well, thank you so very much for having me on.
So Mark, first let's start off by talking about you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got this organization started. Or what spurred you on to do it?
I spent a year in Afghanistan. After the 08 campaign, I traveled with Vice President Biden and helped run his presidential campaign. And after the 08 election, I've owned a small company here down in Chicago, and we were a forensic accounting company. And short story is, we got asked to bid on a contract to go to Afghanistan and do flow of funds analysis on U.S. contracting dollars because there were literally billions being extorted along supply routes. So I go to Afghanistan for a year and witness well into the hundreds of billions of dollars on local projects, sewer, water, power plants. And I watched the sacrifice that all of these soldiers made on a daily basis, many of them on their second, third, fourth, or fifth deployments between Iraq and Afghanistan. And one of the things that really struck me as a lifelong Democrat is we were spending $1 billion a month to clothe, feed, and train the Afghan army, $1 billion a month for 6 years. And all of their uniforms were made in China. And it just didn't sit well with me that we would ask so much of so many and we couldn't do the basic things of try and bring as many jobs back here to the U.S. as possible. And then I come back and there are story after story after story about homeless veterans, skyrocketing suicide rates. Every 22 hours, a soldier commits suicide. And I truly, on my way home one night in my car, after I'd been home for about 3 months and I'd kept notes from my time in Afghanistan, I just decided I had to do something. And I literally started the company in my car on the way home one night because I wanted to find a way to get to these vets, get into the homeless shelters, start a company where we could at least start to get them back into the chain of commerce and back reintegrated into society. And I really thought one of the easiest ways to do that, although I must admit I know nothing about the industry, I had no real business plan. I just had a savings account with a little bit of money, and I decided we'd start a T-shirt company, start doing silk screening. I'd start working with local homeless shelters and go start hiring folks and training them up. And it was just as simple as that. It was just an epiphany that we need to do something for our veterans, and we need to start using American-made products. And so if you go to ragsofhonor.us, to our website, I have a short video there about what I call my economic patriotism test, right? You want to do the right thing. You want to help a veteran. You want to buy American. That's what we set this company up for.
Well, tell us. You said that you employ a homeless veteran. That's your goal. And you told me something the day that we talked that your goal was to be the largest employer of homeless vets in the country. And I was taken by that. Tell us how many do you actually have working now?
I have 9 full time, and I've had as many as 14. And one of the things I found, I've had my doors open for about a year. I actually started the company with, didn't have any presses. I had a virtual office, and I would just have the shirts delivered there. And I would pick up the vets at a homeless shelter, and then I'd go rent some space, teach them how to do it, got a few clients, and then eventually, you know, scraped enough money to get a little place of our own. And so then I started to be a little bit more aggressive. And I've hired 14 of them the last year. Some have come and stayed for 2 or 3 months, really to get them back on their feet, and I've helped them transition and find another job. And we've got 9 full-time now, and as we grow, you know, we've only been open a year, I want to be the largest employer of homeless veterans in the country. There are over 2,100 homeless veterans just in Chicago. Last year, disturbing fact, 300,000, roughly, veterans were homeless for at least one night. And these folks, as you might imagine, are very proud, but imagine losing your job, going through your savings, you don't have much of a family network perhaps, no social network, you end up, after serving proudly, in a shelter. It's very hard to get out on, you know, the inner, this circuit to go find a job. And so it becomes like 10 times harder for these folks to reintegrate. And so I own the name Rags of Honor thanks to Holland & Knight, a law firm who did everything for free. I own that name. I own the logo. And my hope is that as we grow, we take this out to Detroit, and we work with homeless shelters and the VA there, and we set up shop there, and we set up shop all over the country where we start going 4 to 6 to 7 vets at a time. And the next thing you know, maybe we've got 2,000 veterans working who might have fallen through the cracks.
We're talking to Mark Doyle, founder and CEO of Rags of Honor. You're listening to the Union Edge. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman on this fine Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. And back with us, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
Yeah. Good afternoon, ladies. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you, too.
We have also with us the founder and CEO of Rags of Honor, Mark Doyle. And Rags of Honor is a company formed by Mark to help employ homeless veterans in the Chicago area. Mark, welcome to the Union Edge. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This is an issue that clearly dear to my heart, and amazing that you would have found me and called to help me shine a light on this. I just can't tell you how much it means to all of us.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing, Mark. One of the things that that was crossing my mind as you were talking was we're not even at the peak of how many homeless vets or veterans that are going to be in need yet. I mean, I think it'll take some time yet. I think the numbers would be staggering to people about the people of homeless vets that has been increasing, right, since 2010.
Yeah. A consequence of 10 years of war, between 3 and 6 deployments, a job market, if you go back to 08, 9, and 10, that was just staggering to get back on its feet, especially in the Midwest. We had unemployment over 10% in Illinois. And obviously up in Detroit, you guys have had your share of problems as well since the meltdown in 08. Mm-hmm. So it was a perfect storm in the worst of possible ways for a 23-year-old who went and served his country, or a 25-year-old for 5 years, served in combat, doesn't make a lot of money, comes back to a struggling economy without a big social net to help him or her, and the struggle starts, and it often ends up, as I said earlier, suicide, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, homelessness. So as I started it, I thought I might not be able to change the whole world, but I truly thought, Buck, change the world around me. Start one T-shirt at a time, start one veteran at a time, and just go to work.
You know, I can tell you from personal experience. I can remember back in 1972, a lot of people, including myself, were getting out of the military. I served in the Marine Corps for a period of time, and the first place that I went was the unemployment line. And I can't tell you how that makes, in some respects, a veteran feel, because, you know, you've just basically given your all for your country, and then you come back to an unemployment line. And these guys and ladies coming back and living homeless, I can't even imagine that. So I guess, do you really feel that, how can we help? How can we help Rags of Honor?
The best way that people can help, and when I architected the company, I mean, I jokingly say I had no plan, and I really didn't. Like, I had no business plan. I didn't do a marketing plan and put together a budget for the verticals we wanted to grow into. I just had a mission, and I had just enough money in my savings account to start. But I did know that there really is a fervent pitch out there, and we see it by virtue of this phone call, that people want to help veterans, and they want to do something. And so all the proceeds at Rags of Honor, I don't take anything out of the company. All the money that comes in goes to pay down debt and to hire more veterans. So if you want to help Rags of Honor, you'll be helping a veteran. You can go to ragsofhonor.us. We have an online store, because when I built the company, I wanted it to be a custom house where if you needed 1,000 T-shirts, we could be your custom print shop. But if you just wanted to help a veteran, or your father or your uncle had a birthday coming up, and you wanted to support a veteran and support him or her, come to our store. Buy a T-shirt, long sleeve, short sleeve. We're going to be putting knit caps up for the winter and ball caps and hoodies. And that's the best way people can help, is spread the word. Come and buy merchandise on our site, and just know that the more we sell, the more veterans get hired. It's that simple.
I love it. A man just like thinks like a Marine. You don't have a plan, you improvise.
Well, my brother's 3 all Marine Corps guys, and I actually watched, just imagine, when my brother Chris was 3rd Marine Recon, 2 tours in Vietnam, and the struggles they went through. So I lived in a military household, and have done a lot of military events when I worked for President Clinton, and I have several friends who are former military, and it is just a sacred honor that we have to these folks who put themselves in harm's way. At the very least, let's make sure that there is some sort of a bridge for them back to society. And that was my mission. Just start somewhere. Put your heart into it. Have a decent mission that people could get behind. And knock on wood, a year later, we are growing. And here I am talking to Buck Geno.
Well, you know, first of all, we would be remiss if we didn't thank the Union Edge. Charles Showalter is not with us today. I think the ladies kick him to the curb on Friday, but Angela and Brittany, because they are the ones that will help get the message out and talk about this every day. So,
thank you.
What we do is we want to thank you, Mark, for, and like I said, I was taken by your story about traveling over there. It's not most people don't look at the, you know, you were sent over there to look at the money, but what you were doing was looking at the people. So, you know, we have a few minutes left. Give us a little hint about how we can check out Rags of Honor and how we can help.
Best ways to go to ragsofhonor.us. There's a short video on there that really does a nice job of giving a sense of our mission. And if you want to help, buy a T-shirt. If you need any custom work done, please let us at least bid on it. We are licensed by the Big Ten right now, and so we're doing some work for Northwestern University down here. Love to do work up your way. But spread the word. Like us on Facebook. I have no idea what that actually means, but I keep people say you got to tell folks to like us on Facebook. And spread the word. And by the way, if you can't buy a T-shirt or you don't need 100 T-shirts or 1,000 T-shirts, find a way to help a veteran today, somehow, some way. It doesn't need to be earth-shattering. As I tell people, I travel around Chicago, just change the world around you. Give somebody some hope today. That's what we really do at Rags of Honor when I listen to the stories of my veterans. When I tell them they're hired and they literally begin to cry in front of me, I know that we've given somebody hope who did not have it 10 minutes before that interview. So spread the word, help a vet. Make sure people buy American, and give people hope. I know it sounds corny, but I've watched it. I've watched people blossom over at Rags of Honor, see what they've become from homelessness to an apartment to having furniture to just living the life, the basic American dream that we all want and that they all deserve. And just spread the word. Spread the word, Rags of Honor.
And the point of that, Mark, is you also help these veterans succeed even farther down the line with going to work perhaps at another company where they can, you know, support a family and live the rest of their life in dignity too, correct?
We do. I actually started a foundation as well because I didn't have enough to do. Why not start a foundation? And one of the things I noticed after my first 7 or 8 came through the door, they go from a homeless shelter with no money. We get them back on their feet. We find them working with Volunteers of America, an apartment, but now they have no furniture because they've been homeless. So I started this foundation to help raise some money to help folks with things like a bed, a dresser, just little things in life so that they can have some stability. And then what we also do, one of the fellows who worked for me was a mechanic, and he drove convoys in Afghanistan. I met him in the shelter, came to work for me for a year. His family was in Indiana because there were no jobs down there. He lost his job, ended up in Chicago in the shelter. I hire him. We got him his CDL license, helped him get a place down in Indiana, got back with his family, and got a commercial driver's license job. And so as I say to my folks, you might stay with me as we grow because I have the folks. I teach them how to run the business and do the QuickBooks and do ordering. And so they're really growing up with the business. But if you just need a place because you have no hope and you have nowhere else to go, you come to my shop. We'll put you on the payroll, and then you tell me what you want to do, because I have, you know, pretty good reach in this town. And if you can find a place to make more money, I start them at $10 an hour. After a month, we get them to $12 an hour. But I also have a big refrigerator. Everybody gets lunch every day. I buy boots and winter coats so that people don't have to worry about it in the winter. And so I try to do the best I can with what I've got. But if people need a little bit more, we help them. And that's my mission. Come to work for me. You always have a job here. But if we can help you get to the next level where you're making $18 an hour or $22 an hour, then we've done our job because we were the bridge to that better life.
Well, you found a lifetime helper in me, Mark. Like I said, I think that I would put the call out to some of my union brothers and sisters. I know every local union has T-shirts and sweatshirts and aids every year. I would hope that they would consider your company, and that they can be rest assured all your products are bought in America.
Yep.
And
oh,
like
yeah.
I said, like,
oh, yes. And, like you know, I was shocked, frankly, of course, knowing nothing about the business. I say, yeah, I'm going to start a company. I find a distributor. I mean, the company's a day old. And so I find a distributor, and I say, I want to see your American-made products. Well, there's 700 non-American-made and, like, 300 American-made. I was shocked at how hard it was to actually find just basic American-made T-shirts and sweatshirts. And so I've worked very hard to source them, and there are some very good ones. And, you know, one of only 2%, your listeners probably know this, especially all the strong union folks out there, only 2% of all the clothing that we wear in America is made in America. I mean, it's these, and in our own way, I know it was probably a bridge too far in some ways, but I thought as we grow this company, darn it, I want to rekindle that industry. Where in 3 years, we're doing so many T-shirts, American-made T-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, that we're growing it ourselves. There are some growers who are trying to make a comeback down in North Carolina. And I really wanted to be one of those companies that spurred on the growth, the regrowth, and the rebirth of an industry here, good-paying jobs, you know, with benefits. And you know that you're helping out one of your fellow countrymen. And so that's our big push, and as you know, if you go and see the video, I do call it my economic patriotism test. You want to say that you're patriotic, and you want to help a vet, and you want to be a good American? All right, we're going to challenge that, because you're going to pay a little bit more for a T-shirt. And I am happy to say that when we bid jobs down here, I tell everybody right up front, I don't take anything out of the company. I pay a living wage. We use American-made products. So if you want the cheapest, I'm not your guy. Nobody is pushed back. And that speaks volume about this mission, Buck, and about what people will do when they see a company trying to do the right thing for the right reason. You don't have to race to the bottom. I know you see that in big union towns, and we see it in industry across the country. You cannot race to the bottom in wages, because a rising tide really does lift all boats. So we ask people to pay more, because I pay more, and you're going to buy an American-made product. And so I challenge people to do the same thing when they can.
One last time, the website, Mark?
RagsOfHonor.us. Like us on Facebook. Spread the word. Help a vet today. Buy American.
On behalf of Charles Showalter, Angela Bachman, Brittany Sheets, we've been talking to Mark Doyle, the founder and CEO of Rags of Honor, and we really do appreciate you listening to The Union Edge.
The Union Edge, Labor Stock Radio, reminds you to register to vote, educate yourself on the issues, be part of the process.
Welcome back to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and coming up next, we have Workers Independent News and the Hightower Report.
It's always inspiring to see global corporate giants crush small farmers, stomp on nature, circumvent our laws by hook or crook, and deceive and gouge consumers. Welcome once again to the phantasmagoric world of DNA manipulators. In particular, this branch of genetic engineering wizardry calls itself, quote, synthetic biology. Yes, that's an oxymoron, meaning fake life. But it's also moronic in this case, for it's a crude and costly attempt by high-tech alchemists at such corporate powers as BASF and Cargill to genetically modify microorganisms to produce something wholly unnecessary, artificial flavorings and fragrances. One of their, quote, achievements is to use a powerful form of gene-altering technology to re-engineer yeast and make synthetic vanilla. Hello, of all the world's needs, why put so much money and scientific energy into something that's on every grocery shelf, both in a natural and artificial form? Also, this corporate wizardry creates a massive threat to the livelihoods of thousands of small tropical farmers in developing nations. Madagascar, for example, one of the world's poorest countries, has 80,000 farmers whose only reliable cash crop is vanilla beans. I really count on that to make a living, says one. Well, sniff the faraway synthetic makers, we can do it cheaper. But can-do is not the same as will-do. Even though the lab-made vanilla is not as good as nature's own, corporations will use their political and marketing muscle to capture the market and jack up prices. Advertising gimmickry is already in play, for the industry claims that its fake stuff is a natural product. Therefore, it need not be labeled as a GMO, even though it is. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get a bigger whiff of this outrage, go to Friends of the Earth at foe.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, is calling for more extensive health screenings of passengers traveling from areas affected by the Ebola outbreak. The union represents 60,000 flight attendants at 19 airlines. The flight attendants say the globalization of air travel and today's aviation industry requires new, stronger measures to protect passengers and crews. A report from the New York Committee for Occupational Safety and Health, NICOSH, shows 8,600 air hazard to passengers. The hazards include exposure to biohazards like bodily fluids, as well as unlabeled chemical cleaners, diesel emissions, ear-splitting noise, and temperature extremes. The workers most often work for subcontractors who fail to provide them with adequate protective gear and training. NICOSH's Charlene Obernauer says these hazards are preventable.
We really found that there were significant hazards and risks to worker safety, and that many of these safety health hazards that workers face are also hazards that passengers who frequent airports may also be exposed to. A lot of the hazards that are listed here in this report could easily be mitigated, and most of them are actually preventable and would be very small fixes for the employer to address.
The labor union, 32BJSEIU, plans to hold infectious disease training sessions for New York airport workers next week. Chicago fast food workers are going to Ferguson, Missouri this weekend for Ferguson October, a weekend of resistance. It's 4 days of actions demanding justice for Mike Brown, the unarmed black teenager shot to death by Ferguson police, and to also demand an end to violent policing nationwide. Among many sponsoring organizations are the St. Louis NAACP, Domestic Workers Alliance, Code Pink, and SEIU healthcare workers from Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Kansas. 8 New York car wash workers have filed suit against Vegas Auto Spa, claiming more than $600,000 in back wages are owed by the company. The employer's total liability could exceed $1 million. The workers claimed there were overtime and other violations. They say this demonstrates the need for passage of the Car Wash Accountability Act in New York City, which is currently before the city council. It would require companies to be licensed and to put up surety bonds to cover substantiated claims of wage theft. The nonpartisan Congressional Government Accountability Office has released a study showing that voter turnout in two states dropped after they enacted photo voter ID laws. GAO says it compared turnout in Kansas and in Tennessee to turnout in four comparison states that had no changes in their voter ID laws from the 2008 to the 2012 general elections. GAO says its study suggests that turnout decreased in Kansas and in Tennessee more than in the selected comparison states of Alabama, Arkansas, Delaware, and Maine. Kansas turnout declined by an estimated 1.9 to 2.2 percentage points, and in Tennessee, voter turnout dropped by 2.2 to 3.2%. The decline was higher among young voters and among African Americans.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.